You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Packernet After Dark. That little ditty was called, "Why Are You Calling Me? Leave Me Alone." Oh, I make myself laugh. Welcome to Packernet After Dark. This is the call-in show of the Packernet Podcast Network. If you'd like to call in, the phone number here is 608-501-0718. New callers go directly to the front of the line. We don't have any new callers to D. But what we do have is Pedro from Brazil.
Hey, Ryan, it's me, man. Pedro, the man from Brazil.
What's up?
So, I got curious about the robot draft that you made a couple of months ago. Because I remember Jordan Morgan, but I didn't remember a lot of the other players. So I went back and listened to the podcast again.
Oh, you found it?
I'm going to tell you, the robot may not have got on point on the players, but he got pretty close on the position. You know, first round was Jordan Morgan, so yeah, nailed it. Second round, he went with Kitchens, which is a safety, and Jordan Brooks, which is a running back, which was our third round pick, but that's okay.
Yep.
Then he went linebacker on Junior Colson and offensive line on Christian Mahogany. So he didn't double up on linebacker, but he just started grabbing offensive line. Then he went another offensive line, so going three, just like we did. He doubled up on running back, which is not great. And then he did a couple more draft picks that weren't exactly the positions we drafted. But the last pick in the draft was a corner. So, yeah, I got to tell you, the robot's not too shabby. So, position-wise, he nailed it, like, over half the draft. And he picked, the only corner he picked was the last pick. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
That is funny.
Yeah, gotta say that the robot is pretty close to the mindset of the Packers. So, yeah, that's about it. Talk to you soon. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Well, I had two thoughts, and then I had a third one that scared me. Number one is that the robot did a better job than me, which is great. My second thought was maybe the robot really is pretty smart. And then the third thought that scared me was maybe Brian Gutekunst is just using AI to do his draft for him, which wouldn't be great. I'm kidding. I know he would never. That's hopefully not the thing. All his scouts and everybody's in the room. He's like huddled up in the corner, got ChatGPT pulled up. Robot, what do I do?
Hey, Ryan, this is Daniel from Milwaukee. I'm listening to your podcast.
Not sure why that's so quiet. I don't think that's on my end. Sorry about that.
Podcast right now about the Bears picking up Caleb and how it's not that special. I'm agreeing with you. And, I mean, it's like you got four picks going into the draft. You know, that is a negative.
Right.
And they should be counting that as a negative.
Right.
I've seen a post on Facebook. It was so funny. Basically, it was a Bears page putting Keenan Allen for, like, their round four pick and Montez Sweat for their round two, saying, like, yeah, the Bears had a great draft. You know, and it's like, dude, you guys are really trying to justify paying like $50 million plus a year this year just for two picks, quote, that you guys gave up. It's not even like you can't count already proven talent as a draft pick.
Right.
Like, I don't know, it's so idiotic. But all right, man, have a good day.
Go, yeah. Go. And like I said, it doesn't take a genius. You don't need a GM at all to go out and say, this guy's good, let's go get him. Go get a 13-year-old playing Madden. He can go pay all the money to a big-name free agent. So I'm not impressed by that, number one. Number two, you're going to have to prove to me that that's a better long-term strategy for building a team, which I don't think you're going to be able to do. Again, we can't just pretend all things are equal. Like, well, we don't know a second-round pick would be good, but we know this guy's good. First of all, you don't know that he's good. Second of all, he's older, so you're going to have less time with him. You're not getting a 22-year-old. You're getting a 28-year-old or whatever it is, 27-year-old. And you're also not getting 4 years of a rookie contract. You're paying them big-time money, which is why you can't do this, you know, ad infinitum. This is so... Whatever. As far as Caleb goes, I had fun making fun of the guy. I thought it was funny, and I will probably continue to do so. Last night, though, for whatever reason, I said, you know what? I want to watch him just for myself. I know I watched him a little bit before. I just want to watch a game and see just kind of honestly what I think of the guy. I didn't get to watch a ton, and maybe it might have been one of his bad games, to be honest. I didn't see him throw a pick or anything, but it was against Washington. I know it was Notre Dame and one other game was bad. It might have been Washington. But I was trying to like pick a game where it was actually a decent enough team, not just some, you know, whatever. And my takeaway was largely what I've heard some of the knocks, and that is he's good out of structure. I don't see that he's very good in structure. And my personal opinion on quarterbacks, and I don't know that anyone's been able to, or I mean anyone in terms of any quarterbacks that I've seen been able to necessarily disprove this, you have to be able to work in structure first. Out of structure is a bonus. Out of structure stuff is when you can take a good quarterback and become an elite quarterback. And I think Caleb Williams has that. He does that stuff where it's like he makes a play that somebody else wouldn't have. That would have been a sack for, you know, 8 out of 10 quarterbacks. But he stayed alive and was able to throw because he has some crazy arm angle, et cetera, to make something happen. But if you can't see the guy coming wide open across the field and hit him on time, and then you have to break the pocket, and then, yeah, you make some crazy sidearm throw to a guy and pick up 3 yards, yeah, but you lost the 15-yard pass. He also kept doing this thing where he would see it, either he would see it late, or he would see it, and rather than just uncorking it, he does like a double, triple hitch. It's like hitch, 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 throw. It's like, bro, you got to just throw it. Like, if you see it, boom, you got to go. So, I mean, just from what I saw, that's a serious issue. Now, if he can get better at that, and then you add on the stuff that he can do outside of structure, he's going to be an elite quarterback. But if he can't figure out the rest of the stuff, if he can't just operate a basic offense, he's going to be a terrible quarterback. He's going to be Justin Fields minus all that athleticism. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen early. I'd be surprised if he came out early and just tore things up, which is going to be a big problem because the whole concern with a lot of people is he's going to get in there and he's going to get ruined. And even though he wasn't talked about it as a guy that needed to sit, I don't know why we would think that he could just come in day one and just operate. Because the other thing is, it's real dangerous. I mean, it could be real ugly, especially when you add in the extra added layer of NFL defenses. This is not college anymore. Your guys are not going to be quite as wide open. It might be a good situation in Chicago where you might have some guys open. But even then, the windows close so fast. The defenders move so fast. Everything happens really, really fast. A lot of those sacks you were able to evade, you're not going to be able to evade because there's bigger, stronger guys that are going to bring you down. There's faster defensive linemen that are going to be able to chase you down. So everything is harder. And, when it's the whole game of inches thing, I don't know. I don't know that that's going to be something that's, you know, and again, I'm not just trying to be biased and say he's going to be terrible. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is what I saw from Caleb Williams is not good enough. It's just not. The extra stuff is great. And he's going to make some cool highlight throws. And it's going to be just like it was before, where Bears fans are going to have lots of highlights to work with to prove that he's an elite quarterback. Missing the larger point that he's not an overall good quarterback. He's a bad quarterback that does cool stuff, just like Justin Fields was. You know, the elite rushing highlights and all the other highlights and everything else. I mean, 90% of it was rushing highlights. But we'll see. I mean, I just would be surprised if he came in. And I don't even necessarily want to say he's going to have a terrible outing, but I just think there's going to be some real concerning signs. There's going to be some really concerning decisions, some really concerning throws. It's going to be one of those things where you got the QB school guy going back and being like, you got to clean that up, man. You got to get that footwork out. You got to see that. You got to throw that. That kind of stuff, which is exactly what he was saying about Fields, which, it's like I said, I mean, he just reminds me of Justin Fields. I mean, all the issues are the exact same. It's just a matter of whether or not he's going to be able to overcome them. But I don't know. I mean, maybe there's other games where he's much better at it and he was just flustered in the couple games that I've seen. But he's, you know, again, I was looking for that. I wanted to see anticipation. I wanted to see throwing on time. I wanted to see throwing in rhythm, and he doesn't do it. I saw Bo Nix do it. I saw our guy Pratt do it. Caleb did not do it. And I just think that that's critical if you're going to make it work in the NFL. But we'll see. We'll see. He's a super gifted guy, though, that's for sure. The stuff that he can do, the power he can generate from just ridiculous, you know, running to the sideline, just flick of the wrist, throws it 10 yards. Some of that stuff is pinpoint accuracy. I mean, he's a scary guy, but I don't think he's an NFL quarterback yet.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good.
Kyle from Madison.
What's up?
Loving going through. I love after the draft to just sit down and just watch highlights of everybody. Yourself pumped up.
Yeah, I'm still watching Kalen King, and I just like the way he plays. I could understand that maybe there's some limitations there, but jeez, he's fun to watch.
I constantly remind myself that, you know, it's not necessarily the finished product that you're seeing isn't the player you're trying to get. You're trying to, you know, they're trying to pick somebody for the skills they have and how they project into the NFL, you know? And I think that's a little bit tricky. But one of the people that I was initially like most WTF about during the draft, Evan Williams. I'm like, who? Sure. What? I didn't understand. I never heard of him. So I watched the Oregon. There was wasn't the whole game, but it was a pretty big cut up of the Oregon USC game.
Okay.
So I watched that, and I watched Evan Williams, you know, highlight package, and then went back to his, was it Fresno? Before he transferred to Oregon. Man, I really like this guy, and I absolutely get it. I absolutely get it, and I understand, like, he's 100-and-some picks earlier he was taken in consensus, but after watching it, I 100% get it.
Yeah.
I see a guy.
I mean, honestly, for me, Evan Williams and King are very similar to me. It's kind of iffy. I think for Williams, it's a little bit, like, he seems, I don't know if undersized is the right word because I don't remember his height and weight, but, you know, the physicality, that's the wrong word. He tries to be physical. It seems like maybe there's a little bit lacking in terms of, like, follow through and whatnot. the ability to physically bring guys down and whatnot. But I love the heart and the effort and the willingness to be violent. Very, very similar in terms of maybe there's limitations. Maybe the coverage isn't quite there. Maybe, I don't know. But this dude is going to go out there and bleed on that football field, and he's going to leave everything out there. And you know what? I will always respect guys like that. Always. And that's sort of my issue with, like, Quay, for example. And again, maybe it was Joe Barry's fault. I don't know. But it's like, just freaking go. Just do something. Don't just stand there. I'd rather you attack and miss. Like Jair, I think it was his second year, because I think his third year was his big breakout year. So I think his second year was the year that he was really coming into his own. But one of the mistakes he would always make is he'd try to jump passes and he'd get killed on double moves, right? Something he needed to learn. But I, you know what? At the same time, I didn't mind it as much. It was a little frustrating, but it's like, number one, he'll learn. Number two, he's losing being aggressive. He's losing trying to, and sometimes it did work. Sometimes he jumped routes and everything else. So I appreciate that. Don't lose by just standing there. Don't get a C grade by not trying. Come up and miss a tackle, right? Darnell Savage coming downhill and throwing his entire body into a guy and kind of bounces off him. Like, it's freaking embarrassing. But at least you're doing that as opposed to doing the whole hockey goalie thing where you're like skating backwards, trying to block it. Like, oh, don't go this way. Don't go that way. Just drives me nuts. So yeah, I'm similar with Evan Williams. It didn't take long. We pulled up his highlights on stream after we drafted him. It really was not hard to see the appeal.
It takes awesome angles. Like, you watch him and he's just really smart the way he assesses his attack angles. He doesn't make a lot of bad decisions in that regard. And, yeah, man, he is a punishing defender. The way he tackles guys is different. The way he finishes tackles is different. I love this pick. And I would have never thought that. You know, when they took him, I'm like, all right, here's another developmental guy we never heard of. I'm not so sure. I mean, I love this pick. I love the physicality this guy plays with. I think this is going to be a very useful player for us immediately, especially on special teams. Immediately on special teams with how he plays. But I think he's going to contribute on defense the first year. And I like him a lot. I just do. I think he's a sure tackler. And if I'm not mistaken, he was the captain of the defense. Is that right? But I really like this player. He has actually jumped Oladapo for me almost immediately after I watched a little bit of him, which is saying a lot because I really like that player. Hey, one other thing I wanted to ask you, though. What do you think the chances are that Marshawn Lloyd's going to play special teams as returner? Because you watch his game.
Yeah.
Got to think that would translate
that
really
sense,
well
actually.
Into this new system.
Yep.
Like, just you watch it and you can, I can just see it. What's your thoughts on that, too? Thanks, buddy.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, obviously, everybody's going to be real upset because it's like, no, we already got a guy. I know Christian Watson's dad, when I commented on that, he didn't really like that suggestion either, saying, no, you know, Keyshawn is perfectly suited for this, and he probably is. That's fine. I hope he is because we got a good one. But as things change and the idea is you're looking for more of a running back skill set as opposed to a wide receiver type of skill set, you do wonder, and especially since he's not expected to come in and be RB1 right away, it's a good way to kind of get him on the field and get him to kind of do some of that stuff. Now, it could be RB3 that ends up taking some of those snaps. I think it'll be a fun competition. It's going to be fun in general just seeing how the Packers adapt to this and being able to see the kickoff in action. But yeah, getting back to the Evan Williams thing, I the hardest part I have is, what is he going to do? I mean, if we're forcing Bullard into the slot, which, if I'm being honest, I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. I think Bullard is going to be sort of that number two safety next to McKinney. Now, there will probably be other packages that Williams could potentially be involved in. You know, there's a question of, what do you do in dime, right? So now we need kind of like two slot. Could Williams be the other slot? Could Bullard come down and then it's Williams? I don't know. I don't know if maybe they could possibly do a thing in which, you know, we need three linebackers. Could the third linebacker be a safety? You know, I know we obviously have two, and we all assume that McDuffie is going to be three. But again, certain packages, depending on this, that, or the other, you know, third and 20, could we possibly put another safety on the field? You know, or you know, even just it could be, you know, Quay and Evan Williams as your two linebackers in that, you know, very obviously nickel or dime situation. I don't know. I hope he's good enough that they try to force him on the field, I guess, is the first step. Let's hopefully establish that he's going to be that dude. And then from there, it's a question of, you know, how do we utilize him? I have a feeling you want him close to the line of scrimmage because this whole thing is blitzing. That was sort of his number one attribute coming out of college. So if you're able to possibly get him on the in a slot role or bring him in as a linebacker in certain situations, I think that could possibly be interesting. But we'll see. I think the Packers love this. That they, you know, it's a question that they haven't answered either. They're going to throw everybody out there. They're going to see where they're strong. We got a defensive coordinator who's got a ton of pieces. He's just got to figure out how to best put this puzzle together. So we'll see. It's suddenly become a really tough room to crack. That's for sure. If you're a DB, specifically a safety, it's going to be tough to get on the field. But anyways, why don't we take our first break? We will be right back and hear from Garrett in Southern Illinois. By the way, I've only got one of the respondents to reach out to me. I believe it was Jamie1010. So Eli from Duluth and 305 Mike McGee. You got to hit me up, man, because I got Fogo waiting in the wings. I don't want him to disappear on me and be like, well, I guess they don't want our steak. So please reach out. If anybody knows who 305 Mike McGee or Eli from Duluth is, have them hit me up. Please, please, please. I keep forgetting to do it at the very beginning. I'll try to get back on social media and throw that around as well. But if I don't hear from you pretty soon, there's going to be one winner. So 305 Mike McGee, Eli from Duluth, and if I got it wrong, then Jamie1010. But I think that's the person that has responded so far. We'll take a break. We will hear from, Garrett in Southern Illinois when we come back. In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's 40 bucks right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Pack Daddy, hey. I wanted to wish you a happy 2000 episode.
Thank you.
Man, it's hard to believe, man. Time flies. I can, strangely enough, still remember some of those episodes where the now infamous cricket in the corner chirping away when you would pause for a moment. And, man, those were the good old days. I wish there was a way to know that you're in the good old days when you were in the good old days. But anyways, when I come to think about it, 2000 episodes and how many times I've called into your show, I think I've probably called you more than my wife. That's insane, man.
Don't tell her that.
That is insane. Well, here's to another 2000 more episodes and, more AI songs about a cricket that made me tear up.
Bro, yes.
And go back to them.
I think you're the second person that said that, and I'm not going to lie. I listening to the song, I didn't cry, so you can shut up right now. But what I am saying is that there was a part of me that got a little bit in my feels. And I was like, I don't think I want to tell anybody that because... It's like it's a fake robot song about a stupid cricket. Like you're an idiot. But now after two people have said that, I think it might have even been you on Twitter, which would make it one. But we'll call it two so that we feel more not alone in this. Yeah, that was I enjoyed that. It was talking about like in the lonely basement. I was thinking about my old basement and whatnot. I don't know. I don't know, man. You know, good old days. Got to go back and find that song. I gotta make sure I don't lose any of these songs. I got to start putting them somewhere. I got to get a folder for all my songs and just stash them. Got to make a record. I wish there was somewhere I could put them other than YouTube. I'm not allowed to put them on, like, Spotify and stuff because I'm not license holder enough to be able to, like, sell it or make money off of it. But it would be cool to just put it in a record where people can listen for free. And again, I don't want to put it on YouTube because then all of my YouTube is just like these weird songs. And people are like, what the heck is this? What kind of Packers content creator is this? It's a song about a cricket? I don't get it. I don't know. Figure something out. I have to start a new YouTube channel.
Hey, Ryan. It's Jersey Mike.
Hey.
So, the draft just did a thing for me. And I wanted to talk about it, but... I didn't know how to word it.
Okay.
I still don't know how to word it. I'm...
Happy?
I'm meh right now.
Okay.
I'm really meh.
Sorry about that.
How do I put this? I loved every single pick
Okay. Now
that I look back. I am appreciative of how freaking smart Brian Gutekunst is because, let's be real, without him, we're nothing. This team is not where it's at today. He's just done a masterclass job. But the reason I'm meh is one thing and one thing only. It should have been happening for years. I don't know why we haven't been drafting like this. I don't know where. How do I put this, man? I am all discombobulated and stuck on my words. That's why I haven't been calling in since
Sound
the draft
like
happened. I'm stuck. There's some head scratchers there that aren't really head scratchers.
Sure.
And I'm really more concerned about who's going to do what. Where is Javon Bullard playing? Where is
Keyshawn
Nixon playing? Where is Ketan Oladapo playing? Where is... Evan Williams playing. Is Evan Williams going to become a linebacker? Is he a priority backup linebacker / special teamer? Because we got a bunch of safeties back there. So I don't know. What's going on with Tyron Happer? I mean, is he starting over McDuffie? Is that the plan? Or is he just a backup to, what's his face? Edwin Cooper. You know, like is Quaid playing Mike? Who's playing Mike? I'd have to assume that Quaid is playing Mike. Dude, Gutekunst has left me with so many damn questions, and we're not going to get an answer to any of them until the season, like, actually starts. And I'm going nuts. I am going insane. I'm so, ugh. Because if you tell me that Javon Bullard is in the slot, Keyshawn Nixon is relegated to being the backup in the slot, slash the, like, I don't know. Hold on, let me call back, because I gotta go in depth on that thought.
Yeah, we'll get to part two here. I guess I view it as more exciting. I'm excited to see how this all gets sorted out. I did mention that it's going to be hard to get on the field. I hate to say that the Packers do that scattershot thing where they draft three for a position of need or whatever with the intention of guys failing, because that feels like a freaking loser's mentality, right? No, all these guys are going to be great. But as much as we talk about, hey, you know, having too many of this is a good problem to have, has that ever happened? Have we ever had it where we draft, you know, three running backs and it's like, hey, if they all hit, gee golly, I guess we're in a tough situation with so many good runs. But they never do. Right? When we take three offensive linemen, one of them hits, he plays, the other two go bye-bye. And maybe this is the year that breaks that. We just got too many good guys and it's hard to get certain guys on the field, but generally speaking, what you're going to have is, you know, Bullard will probably play just because he was taken fairly early. I do think he'll play safety because that's what they drafted him to be. It's possible he plays in the slot, especially if the other guys, one of the other two is really, really good and they want him to play safety. They may have to put Bullard there. Mentioned before, it could be sort of a hybrid situation. I don't know. But I mean, more than likely, some of these guys just aren't really going to pan out. And we'll look at it and go, well, you know, maybe they need a year. Maybe they'll be better next year, et cetera, et cetera. But you'll have just enough guys to start. Of the three safeties, one of them will be a starter at safety. And then we've got our corners, and it's going to be Jair. It's probably going to be Stokes and Keyshawn. That's what it's going to be. Unless Stokes can't play, then it'll be Valentine. And then, you know, as far as offensive line, we got a guy that's probably going to play tackle. That's what he was drafted to do. We'll see. If he doesn't, he can play right guard. And then the right guard competition is going to be an unfortunate one of a, you know, mid-ish, late-ish round rookie and Sean Ryan, who is battling to prove that he can start, and it's been a rough battle. I mean, it's going to be a much more boring resolution than I think we probably expect. The linebackers, most likely, although it is possible that that's another outlet for these safeties, if they end up performing better than McDuffie, especially in, you know, more pass-centric situations or whatever. Obviously, we don't know about, you know, who's playing Mike, who's playing Will, whatever. I've kind of voiced that before. I wouldn't be surprised if Edrin Cooper is the Mike. I don't mean that to be, well, it doesn't need to be anything. I just feel like I like Quay at strong side linebacker. I like putting him in a situation where you say, these are your handful of responsibilities. Sometimes we're going to send you on a blitz and you go kill the quarterback. Sometimes I need you to just set this edge. And I think he can handle that. And then, you know, sometimes you're going to be in coverage against this tight end. And we'll see how he can do with that, carrying guys up the field. But it's simpler than what I feel like he was doing before, where he needed to read the whole defense. And I don't think it went very well. You know, everything was overly cautious and da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, I don't know anything about Edrin Cooper and whether or not he can perform there. I mean, I've heard him being referred to as a weak side linebacker, a strong side linebacker, a Mike linebacker. I've said before, I think he's one of the few that can actually handle all of those. Now, there's a mental component that I can't speak to for really any of the linebackers, but I'm going to default to Edrin Cooper just because we haven't seen him, and he seems to be an intelligent player to me. So that's where I lean. But I completely understand the idea of, hey, we got this first-round linebacker. He's been around. He's our Mike. Very possibly could be the situation. He's got some familiarity with making the calls, and he knows a lot of these defensive players and communication and all that stuff. Fair enough. It's still probably going to be a somewhat simplified role compared to what he had in the past. So, but yeah, I view it as exciting. The only thing that's frustrating is it's hard to speak to anything because I don't actually know their role. I mean, it's hard to speak about Bullard as a safety when he might not be playing safety. It's hard to speak about Williams when I don't have any idea what his role is, if he even has one. You know, I mean, I can't talk about him as though he's in McDuffie's spot when McDuffie exists. I can't talk about him as the safety when Bullard is probably the safety, or as the slot when we have a slot in Keyshawn Nixon, other than to briefly speculate that it's possible. But let's get to part two of Jersey Mike's call.
Hey, Ron, Jersey Mike. So my whole thought process was it'd be really interesting to see if they did their best job to get Keyshawn Nixon and Javon Bullard on the field at the same time. And I was wondering how the heck are they supposed to do that? Like, seriously, what are they going to do that? And the more I thought about it was Javon Bullard at strong safety in base formation with Ja and Keyshawn on the boundary. Then, in nickel situation, it's the same thing, but you bring whoever your outside corner is, Stokes, Valentine, whoever, King, you bring him out to the boundary, you throw Nixon in the slot. Then, you go to dime personnel, you got Nixon and Bullard in the slot,
right,
with Catano Ladapo or Evan Williams at strong safety.
Right, right.
What happens if Evan Williams is a linebacker? Do we even see him play safety? I mean, like, these are questions that I would love to know the answer to, because there's some seriously interesting situations we could find ourselves in,
right,
with some really, really weird packages. And I think it was Pedro or somebody was mentioning just how much, it wasn't Pedro, maybe it was, whoever, was mentioning how much these guys blitzed in college. And if that was something they were looking for on defense, the answer is yes, absolutely. They wanted to know that these guys could blitz. They wanted to know that these guys could get the job done. That's as simple as that. And I believe that they found guys who can do that. And I think they can teach them to even be better than what they are right now. So I'm excited in that regard. But dear God, somebody give me insight so I don't lose my mind. Anyway, great stream, Brian. I really appreciated all the draft coverage. It was good. Got nice hanging out with you guys, talking about my secret hoe deodorant, where I need to apply it, you know, straight up my arse.
Okie doke.
Anyway, on that note, go.
I don't think I have to bleep that. I don't know. I'm not sure the rules on using Irish slang or whatever. Is that Irish and Scottish that say that? I think so. I don't know. But yeah, the blitzing thing is interesting, and I think, I don't know this, but I believe one of the sort of differences between what you would see from Joe Barry and our new defensive coordinator, Halfley, is we know Halfley likes to be aggressive, and part of that is blitzing. And obviously you bring pressure on every single play. I mean, it's part of what you do. You get your guys upfield. But I think Joe Barry tended to be, even though it seemed like he kind of ramped it up toward the end. We saw Quay coming on more blitzes and whatnot. I feel like it tended to be more, you know, that Vic Fangio style of just a traditional defense. Your edge guys run off the edge. Your interior guys come in the interior. You know, we do some stunts and twists here and there. I believe with Halfley, you see more of that philosophy of somebody's coming and you don't know who it's going to be. And if that is going to be kind of an emphasis, it makes sense where it's like, we need to find linebackers who can blitz. We need to find safeties who can blitz. It's a component of what we need to see is other guys that can get home, because we're going to be doing that. And again, it's one of those things where what are the things you need that we don't have to be able to run your defense? And that could absolutely be one of them, because it hasn't necessarily been a priority. So, you know, I mean, I can still run a defense, but if you want me to run it most optimally, I need guys, you know, if I want to send the slot, I can send the slot. If I want to send the corner, I can send the corner. If I want to send a linebacker or a safety from deep, or bring the safety up to the line and bring them, or, you know, what, like all these exotic type of things, they only work. I mean, it's cool conceptually, but they only work if the people can actually execute what they're being asked to do. Otherwise, you're being cute for the sake of being cute. And then you get the crap kicked out of you because you send somebody on a blitz that doesn't get home. And essentially, you just dropped your defense down to 10 men for the sake of like being aggressive. No, we need to actually do things that make sense, and we need to do them at the right time, and we need to have the right people to do the job. And the more people that can do it, the more creative and disguisey we can be. Because if we got like this one blitzing safety, I wonder who's coming. It's the same freaking guy every time. You know, we send some other inept people who can't do it once in a while to keep you on your toes, but they're not on their toes because that guy can't get home anyways. So I'm going to dig into that a little bit more. We might talk about that tomorrow on the podcast. I want to see, I know on the Cheesehead TV draft guide, Dusty Evely did a whole thing on Jeff Hafley's defense. I did not read that part. I know I kind of started kind of skimming it a little bit, but I want to dig into that because, you know, these are always things that we're obsessed about for a little while. And then we move on to the next thing. It's like you talk about the kickoff rule. I'm like, oh, yeah, the freaking kickoff rule, dude. And then we talk about this, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Jeff Hafley, and like the stuff that like the blitzing and the gagging and the megging. You know what I mean? You forget, and then you get excited all over again. All right, let's take our final break. We'll be right back.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hi, Ryan. It's rainy, Minnesota.
Hey.
Well, it sure is nice to see that we can live in the heads of the Chicago Bears rent-free. I just saw what their clown rookie wide receiver, new draft pick, said about cheating Green Bay. Probably doesn't know where it's at on the map, but of course he's out there bumping his gums like the rest of the Bear fans that I'm seeing now online telling me how great their offense is going to be and how they're going to decimate Green Bay. Oh my God, what is going on with these clowns? They're getting right up there with Viking fans. This is ridiculous. And the fact that we don't even think about them?
Right.
Wow. And for the any Minnesota fans out there or Detroit fans that might listen to anything else besides their propaganda,
yeah.
Just remember, in Green Bay, we don't hang division championship flags. We only hang world championship flags, and that's the difference between the organizations. Maybe someday you'll reach our level. Anyway, keep doing what you're doing, Ryan. Love it. Go Pack, go. Bye.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, I saw that on social media. I mean, the and they do this every time. It was Roma Dunze, I think, is who it was. The reporter asked, basically, like, how much do you hate Chicago? And he seems like a good dude. He's going to play along. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I totally hate him or whatever. I don't know what his answer was, something to that effect. But then you had, you know, the response from Packers content creators was essentially, never in the history of the world have you heard a reporter ask a new rookie, how much do you hate the Bears now? It doesn't happen. Since the days of Lovie Smith, and probably even before that, this has been the only obsession with the Chicago Bears. It's the only obsession they've ever had. It's not win the division, it's beat the Packers. I mean, remember, that was Lovie Smith when he came in, we're going to beat the Packers. And I think they've had multiple players and coaches say that since. And it hasn't really happened. I mean, there have been a couple wins, but overall, it just hasn't happened. It's been failure after failure after failure. Maybe take your eyes off the Packers for a little bit and just learn to be a good football team. Something to think about. I don't know. Up to you, I guess.
Hey, so I'm driving down the road listening to the After Dark last night. Does Kyle from Madison live on like some majestic butte with eagles soaring above him? Because it sounded like there was an eagle screaming right above him. That was awesome. I just had a big comment about that because that was amazing. Go back up.
I don't.
I don't know. I don't. It might have been my cat in the background or something. I don't know what. I don't know what that could have been. Steve in Alaska, what's going on, man?
Hey, Ryan. Steve up in Alaska. I just thought of something. I was listening to Pedro, and you just started talking, and you know what? Got a shout-out to Pedro. Congratulations, bud. You're going to get to see all our this year's draft picks.
Yeah.
Whoever does get to play in the first season game before any of the rest of us get to see them, because they're going to be at your place. So you're going to get to see the new team first. Lucky dog. All right, man. That's all I wanted to do. Wanted to say before I forgot. Go back.
You're going to need Pedro calling in, giving us his scouting reports on the guys because, you know, like you said, he's going to get first look. You got to get up close and personal, too. You know what I mean? Get up in there. Talk to him. Interview him. I'm just saying. Speaking of Pedro, what's up, Pedro?
Hey, Ryan, it's me, Pedro, the Radical Brazil Man. What's up?
What's up?
So, I was just analyzing.
Love that so much. I don't know why.
All the NFL teams. And I was kind of ranking them here, but in tiers, you know, not just who's the best and who's the worst. I just put them in tiers. And I got with a top 10 here, actually top 11, because there's an honorable mention here. But, you know, I want to share with you. So, yeah, that's it. The first tier, I have 14. I have the Chargers, who, in my opinion, may have had the best draft. The Cardinals, Steelers, and Washington. I just want to point something out. I didn't look that much on trades and stuff. I was just looking more for the picks. So, yeah, that's kind of my first tier. And my second tier, I have the Eagles, the Saints, the Packers, Baltimore, Bengals, and the Vegas. So, yeah, I think that these were the best draft classes, and the honorable mention that I talked about earlier is the Texans, which I think did a pretty good job, not as much as these other teams, but yeah, I do think that those are the best draft classes, draft picks, actually. Yeah, what are your opinions? Well, yeah, talk to you soon. Have a good bye-bye.
Yeah, the Texans are actually pretty interesting. I should take a look at what some of these teams have done. It'd be interesting to look at, for example, you know, the 49ers, the Rams, teams like that that are kind of in our division, Seahawks. I think people were kind of bragging up the Seahawks. I'm not positive. I haven't looked personally enough to give a thought on what you're saying. I usually just don't care enough, but it would be kind of interesting. I suppose I could do that for an episode. It would be a little bit labor intensive. I'd probably just have to do it the lazy way like everybody else. Obviously, an A goes to anybody that traded with our idiot NFC North rivals just for the trade value that they were able to fleece away from these people. Could be interesting. I don't know how many people would care, but be worth at least giving the exercise a try. As I criticize everyone else for doing it, I'll jump in the fray. But yeah, I know, I mean, the Texans obviously knocked it completely out of the park, you know, getting CJ Stroud and then some. I think the last couple of years have been pretty solid. Similar to the Packers, but obviously you get a guy like, well, I mean, we got Jordan Love. That was a few years prior, but still, it's definitely interesting to look at and wonder, you know, where are they at? How they doing?
What's going on, Ryan? It's Carson Caldwell from Cleveland, Ohio.
What's up, man?
And I just wanted to call because I was just listening to your podcast about ranking the NFC North's draft.
Yeah.
And how the Bears are saying, you know that Caleb Williams is going to be good. You have to know
right.
that he's going to be good. You have to know that Rome Odunze is going to be good. You have to know all these things. And it sounds the exact same as last year when everyone was like, you have to know that because you guys lost Aaron Rodgers, you're not going to be good. You
right.
have to know that Jordan Love was bad. You have to know that the Packers are going to fall off. You have to know all these different things.
Exactly.
And
right.
they were wrong, and they're going to be wrong again. And can Caleb Williams be good? Yeah. Can the Bears be good this year? Yeah, I think they can win 9, 10, maybe 11 games if it all works out. But if Caleb Williams is like a top 12 quarterback, I think the Bears could be pretty solid. But the thing is...
Maybe this is what you're going to say. If he's a top 12 quarterback, he might be the third best quarterback in the division. So
it's just the absolute stupidity of Bears fans saying, we're going to go to the playoffs. We're going to go to the Super Bowl. We're going to win
learn.
The division. We're going to
it's
do all
crazy.
This. When the Lions and Packers clearly have better teams, clearly have less holes to fill, clearly are more experienced, and it's just not going to work out for them. So, I hope they keep saying that so that when the season comes around, they're just disappointed. But, yeah, I'm excited. So 128 days till football season, and can't go any slower. So see ya.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I have to say the same thing over and over and over. And you're right. This is the exact same thing. You're delusional if you think the Packers aren't going to fall off. You're out of your mind. You're delusional. They said the same thing about Justin Fields. I remember on this podcast saying, dude, you're probably right. He's probably going to be really good. But you have to wait and see first. Don't start chirping before it happens. And they wouldn't listen. They just had to go running off, spouting off. Everybody knows we're taking over the North now. And it's the same crap. And the bottom line is, look, is it possible? Yeah. Is it even plausible or even likely? You got at least as good of a shot as you had when you drafted Justin Fields. It's about the best I can give you.
Oh, he's a better prospect.
Okay. Okay. I mean, in my opinion, he's the same but different. You got a guy with the exact same issues. One guy could run for 1,000 yards in a season. Most athletic, freakish guy you've ever seen a quarterback, with the exception of like Vic and Lamar. Now, instead of that, you replace that with a guy that does all the crazy arm angle stuff. Like, okay, cool. I'd say it's about equal. Until we can see Caleb actually do the quarterback things, like not the fancy stuff. I get the fancy stuff. I know what Justin's fancy stuff was. I know what Caleb's fancy stuff is. What I don't know is, can they play quarterback in the NFL is the caveat, because Justin and Caleb both were pretty good in college, right? Although I think Justin was better, and when you look at, for example, success, and also, I mean, PFF, I think, liked him a lot more. But, you know, leaving all that aside, better offensive line, wide receivers, whatever. You just gotta prove it, right? That's all I'm saying. Just wait. Wait. But, and listen, first of all, Bears fans are just different, at least the ones on social media. They're stupid. They just hype things up, right? And I think they know it. I think half of them are just trolling at this point. Secondarily, though, if you don't do it now, you're never going to be able to do it. And maybe that's what's evolved for them. Because the meme is true. The Bears win the offseason every year. So if you're not going to be all in the offseason, then when are you ever going to win? If you're like, well, let's wait and see, you're never going to enjoy anything. So you got to be all in. We're going to win the Super Bowl. It's going to be the greatest, whatever. Because it's the only time that you're going to have that feeling. Because as soon as week one rolls around, all that goes to zero. So anyways, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you guys so much for your calls. I will talk to you tonight, tomorrow, whatever. Have a good one. Bye-bye.